today as we come to the table.
Where the spirit of the enemy is, freedom is removed, choice is removed, force is brought in, and laws are mandated. That's a sign of the enemy. It's all throughout world history. It's all throughout biblical history. That's why when this whole thing started happening, if everybody being forced to do things, regardless of whether you think it was right or wrong, again, not getting into that issue. But what I noticed right off the bat was the hand of the enemy. The enemy's involved in this. Whenever you see force and mandates, this is where the enemy comes in. This is happening here with Nebuchadnezzar, the removal of choice. It basically says, if you don't fall down and worship what I've made, basically of myself, you will be put to death. Again, that old picture we talked about of the Antichrist.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Don't forget, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't want you to have freedom. He desires to control and force you to his ways. But that is never the case with the God we read about in the Bible. He offers you a life that is fruitful and abundant. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. As you listen to today's message from Pastor Mark, he shares with you that God is perfect in His love. And perfect love always casts out fear. The enemy manipulates by fear and intimidation. God always leads with love because that's who He is. He extends free will to everyone and offers them the freedom to choose His ways. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Now, as we get into Daniel chapter 3, if you remember where we ended last week, I said we're looking at faithfulness in the fire this morning, and there's so many different titles you could give to this message today, because we're looking at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, one of the most famous stories in all the Bible, where they're thrown into the fire, and God rescues them and all that. There's lots of titles and emphasis we could put on it, but I think really the focus that was in my heart this morning is God's faithfulness in the midst of all of it. And that is that no matter what you're going through this morning or what you're going to go through, God is faithful. And this story stands as an eternal reminder of God's faithfulness in that. Some of you this morning might be thinking, is God going to be faithful to me in this? Maybe nobody even knows, as I said in the prayer, you alone may be the only one that knows this morning, the fire that you're going through. And you feel right now so alone. I want you to know something. You're not alone. If you're in Christ, He is there with you. He will see you through it. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to change you into a new person by the time you get to the other side of it. And those of you that have been through the fire, if you've walked with the Lord any length of time, you've been through some level of fire, you know that what I'm saying is true. And I can't say that I've been through fire the way that these men were and what we're going to see today, but I've been through the fire over 30-some years of walking with the Lord. And I can tell you this, not only is God with me, was He not only faithful, God changed me each time and made me a better man and more like Christ. Now, I have a long way to go, but God has a lot of work to do. But the reality is God's going to be faithful. Now, where we left off last time, as we said, we saw God giving Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego the interpretation for Nebuchadnezzar's very disturbing dream. And remember, the dream was a picture of the four world kingdoms yet to come, in the midst of one of them, actually, and then three other kingdoms after that. And then in the fourth one, almost like a fifth kingdom, but still the fourth kingdom, a revived Roman Empire. If you remember, the head of gold represented Babylon, which was Nebuchadnezzar. The chest and arms of silver represented the Medo-Persian Empire that came after that. We now can look back historically and see that took place. Then the belly and thighs of bronze represented the Greek Empire, Alexander the Great, again, who conquered the world and a world empire after that. And then it led into the very last image of the legs and the iron with the feet and toes of iron and clay, which we know was representing the Roman Empire. And because of the two legs, we see that, again, the Bible's telling us that the Roman Empire is going to be in two different periods of world history. Ruling the world 2,000 years ago, but in the last days, yes, the Roman Empire is going to rule the world again. Isn't that a wild thought? The Roman Empire is going to rule the world again. We read about Rome, and no, they're not going to be wearing the little soldiers' helmets and the outfits and the way it all was in that day, but it's the same spirit. It's the same design. That kingdom never died. Remember, all the other kingdoms were conquered. The Roman Empire was never conquered. It's the only one out of the four that wasn't conquered. It simply kind of dissolved into what we know today of as Europe. And God's going to bring it back together in the last days to complete what was begun. Remember, Jesus came the first time. He was rejected. That empire kind of faded. He's coming back now a second time to complete it. So God's going to bring the very same empire back that was in place when Jesus came last time to bring this thing full circle and to bring the Lord back to the earth. And we talked again about, remember, the spirit coming up from the bottomless pit and literally possessing the Antichrist in the last days. This leader out of Europe is going to be possessed by one spirit from the bottomless pit, that is his holding tank in the earth, Hades, we call it, maybe even Satan himself at some point, so it may be kind of a dual thing going on at some point, but the reality is, we talked about that, and even the possibility that it probably could be one of these Roman emperors from the days past, very possibly Nero. Again, the one having the number 666 to his name, the one that was known to the world at that time as the beast, and now we see this revived empire. It might be that literally Nero inhabits this Antichrist, and again, will be bringing his cruelties to our day and age that happened 2,000 years ago. And if you want to do a study about how wicked that man was, you know, that's quite the study in and of itself. Now, to give us the setting here before we jump into chapter 3, this is occurring about 17 years after chapter 2. Okay, 20 years after Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into Babylon. But the first 3 years, remember, they were going through their training. And then they had the episode there in chapter 2 where, again, Nebuchadnezzar has his dream and Daniel gives the interpretation and to the dream. Now 17 years have gone by after this, if you will, and that's the setting where we are. So remember, they've been raised up to being officials. They've been ruling and reigning with the king. Really, he's the king, but they've been alongside as his helpers during this time. They knew him very well. He knew them very well. So this is a very established working relationship among these leaders here as we take up in chapter 3. And this is where now Nebuchadnezzar, after 17 years, decides that maybe he wants to be a little bit more than just the head of gold. And that's what we take up in chapter 3, verse 1. Notice it says, now Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. That is an entire image of gold. Remember, he was the head of gold, but that wasn't enough for him. He let his pride set in, and so to speak, it had gone to his golden head, and he decided now it was going to cover the rest of him, and he was going to be the full image. So was this the image of what he dreamed? We don't know, very possibly. What is the image of their main god there, Marduk, which again later became known as Baal or Baal. We talk about him, same kind of god during that time. We don't know, but either way, he makes this image and every bit of it is gold, showing his pride, his arrogance. I'm everything. I know God said I was going to share the kingdoms, but no, it's going to be all me, all gold. And you see where this guy's coming from in his mindset. And the height of this image was 60 cubits. Its width was 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura. Now, again, several things to note here. Not only the fact that he's giving this image here of this being all him, we're going to see as we go through this, and we'll, again, wrap it up at the end to show you some of the aspects of it. He's really a picture of the Antichrist. So although this is not part of the Roman Empire, Nebuchadnezzar is used as a picture of the Antichrist, and you'll see the parallels unfolding very clearly as we go through this. And the first thing I want you to note is he makes an image that's to be worshipped, and because the image is covered completely in gold, he is making a statement, I am the image, I am the one to be worshipped, because remember the vision, the dream I had 17 years ago that everyone knew about by then, I was the head of gold, but I'm showing the world that I rule now, I'm the entire image of gold. And in essence, by setting up this image and in just a moment asking everyone to worship it, what he's saying is, fall down and worship me. Now, does that ring any bells? The Bible tells us in Revelation when the Antichrist comes into power, he's going to rule for 7 years. At the middle of that 7-year point, 3.5 years in, he's going to set up an image of himself on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, and he's going to demand and require the entire world worship that image in worshiping him. Now, we'll see in just a moment. And Nebuchadnezzar is going to say, if you don't fall down and worship the image that in essence represented him, he's going to put you to death. Same thing the Antichrist is going to do. So you see this picture that's unfolding here. The Antichrist is going to set up an image, and the Bible tells us in Revelation that for those that are still on the earth after the rapture, if they will not fall down and worship him and that image, they will be put to death. That is those he can catch. We know that some will be in hiding, some will escape, some will make it all the way to the very end, because we see that at the sheep and the goats when the Lord comes back in the second coming. But the majority of those who don't bow down will be put to death during that time. So you can already see the imagery beginning to unfold here, seeing this whole picture of the Antichrist, Nebuchadnezzar and the Antichrist, again, going beyond what they should, thinking of themselves more highly than they ought, even as God. Daniel 7:25 says that the Antichrist will speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, thinking to change times and laws. And so the point is, he's going to try to go beyond what God has said. He's going to try to become God himself. We see Nebuchadnezzar now trying to change times and laws. No, I'm God, Nebuchadnezzar is saying. And the Antichrist is going to be saying, I'm God. Again, going beyond times and laws that God has set. In Daniel 1:21, Daniel stated that God alone controls the times and the seasons. And so now we see again this whole effort by the Antichrist and by Nebuchadnezzar to change times and laws, times and seasons, which again is only in the hand of God. Only God can do that. Nobody else has a right to do any of that but God. He alone decides what is right and what the proper order is. Now, even as we see this whole process beginning, the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to us the demonic activity behind this. And that is even this statue. There's so many signals of demonism and occultism in it. What do I mean by that? Well, the statue is 60 cubits high by 6 cubits wide, okay? And later on, we're going to see that it's broken up when they worship him into 6 different types of music. Okay, so now you see the unfolding here of the 666, the whole picture that God gives of the Antichrist, the number of the beast in the last days. And even if you convert those cubits into feet, the statue in feet is 90 feet high and 9 feet wide at the bottom, which again, the number 9 in scripture is the number of the occult. So no matter how you wrap this package, you see demonism and the occult, you see the hand of the enemy in this thing. And this is just something to give you kind of some extra points on here, some extra things, if you will. This statue, I don't know if you probably never thought about what this thing looked like or laid out in dimensions, because most people don't think that way. But it really hit me this time as I was studying this about the dimensions. And as I thought about the dimensions, this thing was an odd looking image, very odd. As a matter of fact, imagine 9 feet at the base. Now, if you look at the 2 center seats of the aisle and then go 1/2 seat each direction, that's 9 feet. Okay, I measured it all so you have a picture in your mind about how big that is. Now, 90 feet is this sanctuary 4 times high plus 10 more feet. This was one tall, skinny dude, all right? And it's interesting, he came from Marduk, if you will, which is their god, which is Baal, came to Baal later on. If you look at the images of Baal, again, you can look them up online. I've seen some of them in Israel, in the Israeli Museum. They're tall and skinny, so it's very bizarre. There's no doubt something connected to the spiritual realm in that. I'll leave that up to you. I don't want to get too sidetracked in that kind of thing. But imagine, you would see this thing from everywhere, this tall, giant, skinny image of all gold. You couldn't have missed it. No doubt they had to kind of really fix this thing with good anchors on the bottom so it wouldn't fall over, whatever the case might be. But either way, it's just very interesting. He made it in such a way, there's no way you could miss this image. You couldn't miss it. And it was a picture of worshiping him, if you will. And notice verse 2, and King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the province is to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Now, it's interesting. I believe we see a similar situation of what we're going to see with the real Antichrist later. And what do I mean by that? He sets up this big image. He calls all the important people of the world to gather. Thousands of them are gathered around this image, and the image is unveiled, if you will. They all come and see it for the first time as he puts this thing in place and puts it up, and he's going to make everybody bow down and worship it. That's exactly what's going to happen on the Temple Mount with the Antichrist. The Bible says he'll have the image on the Temple Mount probably about 30 days before it's unveiled. Now, whether it will be out there in the main square with something over it, whether it will be back inside the temple that's going to be the third rebuilt temple, we don't know where it's going to be, but it's going to be there, not yet unveiled. But can you imagine this worldwide event? Here's the world ruler, the world leader. Everyone says what a great man this is. He solved all the problems of the world. The church is gone, so we're not really giving him a hard time. Everybody that's pretty much on the earth, other than those getting saved after the rapture, that are kind of running and in hiding, so to speak, or being quiet about it, or whatever the case might be, other than the 144,000 preaching the gospel and the 2 witnesses, they're not going to be very quiet. But at the same time, there's going to be this big moment where the world's going to have their attention on Jerusalem. All of the major networks, All of the world leaders will be gathered, those that have come in alliance with the Antichrist, and these regions, these 10 kingdoms that have come together and or regions, whatever the case might be. And there's going to be this massive unveiling, probably with all kinds of music and pomp and circumstance. So what's happening here, I think, is a very good picture of what we're going to see from heaven, those of you that know the Lord, in the future here when the Antichrist comes on the scene. So amazing to imagine what this is going to be like. You get a little bit of a taste of it here. And notice what he says here. It says, then a herald cried, verse 4, aloud, to you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music. Again, the five mentioned in the symphony of all kinds of music is the sixth one that I talked about, kind of wrapped in one picture there. You shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. You talk about a hard-fisted ruler. Again, we talked about Nebuchadnezzar. He just said, you know, if you don't do what I'm saying, I'm going to cut you up in pieces, tear your house down and burn it. If you don't bow down to the image, then I'm going to throw you in a fire. Now, why was the fire even there? The fire was there, no doubt, to throw those in who wouldn't bow down to worship it. But maybe the fire pit was also built for some type of worship going on in the ceremony. You know, it's interesting when you see some of these, you know, pagan worship rituals that go on. There's one out in Nevada, and there's other ones that happen. They always have these giant burnings, if you will, that go on at these events. So there seems to be kind of this whole spirit that Satan brings in that does this kind of thing. We're going to see that again here. Again, so why it's there other than burning people, we don't know. But notice here the sense of fierceness and the sense of dictatorship and the fierce of forcing everyone to do it, that is the spirit behind the enemy. And that is the first thing I want you to note here is this was a command. With Nebuchadnezzar sitting as the world ruler, the monarch, he mandated that everybody obey or else. You have no choice. Again, we talked about it. I think we've seen some of the headwinds of this kind of strength in government forcing everyone to go along with something. Regardless of where you stand on certain issues is not my point this morning. But notice what has happened in the last few years. The government's forcing people, other than not quite yet fully mandating, just shy of it, forcing everyone to do something or else. That's a sign of the enemy, guys. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is, isn't that interesting? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the spirit of the enemy is, freedom is removed. Choice is removed. Force is brought in and laws are mandated. That's a sign of the enemy. It's all throughout world history. It's all throughout biblical history. That's why when this whole thing started happening, if everybody being forced to do things, regardless of whether you think it was right or wrong, again, not getting into that issue. But what I noticed right off the bat was the hand of the enemy. The enemy's involved in this. Whenever you see force and mandates, this is where the enemy comes in. This is happening here with Nebuchadnezzar, the removal of choice. He basically says, if you don't fall down and worship what I've made, basically of myself, you will be put to death. Again, that old picture we talked about of the Antichrist. Now, the second thing I want to note here is that there's no indication in Scripture that Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego, or anybody else really knew what was going to happen until Nebuchadnezzar at the last minute put this whole thing together, put this image up, and said everybody has to bow down or be put to death. So when this happened, the whole world was kind of caught by surprise. I think the same thing is going to happen with the Antichrist in Jerusalem. The whole world's going to be caught by surprise. Here's why. They're going to know he's the world leader, but this is going to be different. When he reveals himself there in Jerusalem, he's going to say at that moment, I'm God. Up to that point, all he said is, I'm a great leader. I'm the one that's got us out of this trouble. He comes in with intrigue and mystery and all these things it says, and the whole world's going to go, wow, this guy's amazing. But all of a sudden, it's going to turn here at the 3.5-year point when this image is unveiled, and he's going to say, I am God. Think of the shock in the world. Think of the shock to the Jews. It's there in Jerusalem, and although they are unbelievers today, although they are secular for the most part and don't follow the God of the Bible, they at least know this, that guy's not God. Jehovah's God. And suddenly we're in trouble. He's in our hometown declaring he's God. The whole world's rallied around him. And now what do we do? And the Bible says that's when he's going to turn on the Jews and begin to start putting them to death in just mass scale. It's going to make Hitler look like nothing. Millions and millions and millions, way more than what Hitler did, is going to happen to the Jews at that time. At that moment is when the Jews, it says, are going to flee down to Petra. Some of them who know the word of God, those who know Matthew 24, whether they know Christ yet or not, I don't know. But they're going to know that the Lord said, look, when you see that guy do that, the abomination that causes desolation, that is declaring he's God on the Temple Mount, get out of town. Don't go back. Don't grab anything. Don't just go. They're going to run down to Petra, and God's going to supernaturally protect them down in Petra from the heat of the tribulation that will happen in the last days. Again, a picture of what's going to happen with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, protected from the heat of the enemy in the last days as they're thrown into the fire. So lots of parallels going on here, lots of pictures taking place in the Scripture. And so again, my point in this was, beyond that was, they had no real idea what was going to happen until suddenly it was sprung upon them. And yet we're going to see that they were still able to stand for God and not bow down to the false idol. Now, why is that so important? Here's what it shows me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego prepared beforehand, mentally, of what they would do if it was mandated, the government asked them to do something against the word of God or against their conscience. We will not go along. And if you don't make that decision in advance, when it comes your way, guess what? You're probably going to give in because everyone else is doing it and the pressure's too great. Can you imagine what it was like when everybody started bowing down to this mandate and here's these guys standing there going, we can't do that. We can't do that. We can only serve God. It's only God that commands us what to do. We can't let man command us what to do. Only God does that. Government has now gone beyond its reach. It's now gone beyond what we can do. We can't breach our conscience. And so what happens? They would have been noticed. Everybody would have seen these guys standing while everyone else was bowing down. You couldn't hide it. And when you feel that kind of pressure, when you feel that kind of weight from people around you, you will not be able to do it unless you've decided in advance. And so they decided in advance, they knew where they drew their line, and they were able to make their stand. Listen to me, family of God, you better decide right now where you're going to go and where you're not going to go. You need to settle it in your heart. I will go this far. I will not go beyond that, because the pressure is going to increase in the last days, and you're going to maybe find yourself, maybe I find myself, in a situation like they did here. And if we're not ready in advance, we're not going to be able to make a stand. So now's when we make the decision, before the time comes. This is now the moment. This is the moment. They did that. And because of that, they were able to make that stand. And notice this. So at that time, verse 7, when the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and in symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at that time, again, of course, we know they didn't bow. They're the ones that didn't bow, right? Well, people see that. You can't hide that. Too obvious. There were leaders in his cabinet. Imagine it would be like having all your main leaders around you in the White House. And everybody has to bow down to some image or something. And there's a few guys standing around that don't bow down. Everybody would see it. Everybody in the room would see it. Everybody in the crowd would see it. Everybody on TV would see it. And they say, what's wrong with those guys? Why aren't they going along with what we've commanded? Why aren't they going along with what's been mandated? Why aren't they being a part of the group, so to speak? And this is where it gets really tough. Look at verse 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. You know, that's been going on throughout world history. The Jews have been picked on more than any people group throughout history. Lots of people have suffered, but the Jews throughout history have been really attacked. And why? Because God made a promise to the Jews, and God said, I'm bringing the Messiah through you, and I'm going to complete a promise to you all the way to the end. Even if you're unfaithful, God says, I'm going to be faithful, which they have been unfaithful. And so God's being faithful. Satan knows that. He hates God. He hates God's promises. He hates those that God has made promises to, so he's attacking the Jews. And even now in the last days, we're seeing the Jews get attacked more and more. I think in the last year or two, it's gone worldwide, 100% increase in Jewish persecution. That's amazing. And again, the Bible says that's exactly what will happen in the last days. There are people that are actually, again, openly attacking the Jews in ways and even praising Hitler. They're starting to praise Hitler and attack the Jews. Who would have ever dreamed in our generation we'd see that when World War II wasn't that long ago? The Bible said in the last days, it's going to fire right back up again. It's that same demonic spirit that's going to rise up and it's going to take over. And that's exactly what they're facing here. Hey, you guys are accusing the Jews. Look what they did. They're not going along with what we said here. And they spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace.
You've just heard another broadcast of Come to the Table. Whether today is your first time joining us or not, we're delighted you did. We want to give all of our listeners the opportunity to learn more about Jesus, and Come to the Table is the vehicle to do just that. So we just want to say thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching of Daniel by Pastor Mark. Maybe you've heard the story about Daniel in the lion's den, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These stories, like so many others, are found in this Old Testament book. It's also chock full of God's faithfulness. Did you know Pastor Mark teaches on much more than just the book of Daniel? For other messages, just go to our website, thewaymedia.net, and click on Come to the Table tab at the top of the page. From there, you should see links for our podcast available on Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitch.
While you're there, feel free to shoot us any questions or comments you have about Jesus or this radio ministry. We'd like nothing more than to talk with you. For a more personal contact, we welcome a call from you. Our number is 865-609-1385. That number again is 865-609-1385. Do you live in the Knoxville, Tennessee area? Do you have a church you call home? You're welcome to join one of our services. We have several services each weekend and also a midweek service every Wednesday night. We'd love to meet you as we gather for a time of fellowship. We'll be back with you soon on Come to the Table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.